What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrian Dorr Heinz. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you could find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at issuesetc.org.
So if you say to any number of Lutheran pastors something about their peeper, there's absolutely nothing voyeuristic about this, or their set of peeper, they may point you to a place on their shelf where they've got three, perhaps four, if they've got the index volumes, that come to, 1,000, 1,200 pages. It is a basic textbook in Christian doctrine, and it has been the standard for lots of pastors down through the years. It started being published, this three-volume work, almost 100 years ago. In fact, in 1917, to celebrate the then 400th anniversary of the Reformation. It's called Christian Dogmatics. The man behind the book is Francis Pieper, and that's why we call it a set of Pieper. But Pieper is not just some words on a page. There was a man behind all of that, and to help us get inside the life of the man is historian John Woolrobby, who is also second vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. John, how are you this afternoon?
Good, Ken. How are you doing?
Oh, fine. It's a glorious day. I happen to know John Woolrobby was out sailing on Lake Michigan earlier today. He tore himself away from that to come in and talk with us. It's good to talk with you, John.
It is a beautiful day, and it was beautiful out on Lake Michigan. We had about 13 to 15 knot winds, and so, I really had a good time.
Our telephone number, if you want to join in on the conversation, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org is the address, or Twitter us at issuesetc. John, let's talk about the early life and family connections of this man who came from really a remarkable family. He had a couple of famous brothers in addition to his own quite noteworthy career. So tell us a little bit about the background of Francis Pieper.
Well, Francis or Franz Pieper was born in Pomerania. In Germany, what is now Germany, and in the town of Karwitz. And he was the exact middle child. There were seven children in his family. He was number four. His father was the mayor of the town. And Franz or Francis had gone to school both there in Karwitz, and then he went to what's called the Gymnasium, which is like high school junior college in Kohlberg, also in Pomerania. And then his father died. His older brother, Reinhold, had already come to the United States, and after his father died, his mother immigrated with Francis or Franz, and then also the three other brothers that included August. But I mentioned Reinhold, his older brother, eventually became a professor, a pastor in the Missouri Synod, and then a professor at Concordia Seminary in Springfield at that time. And then Francis, when he came to the United States, he went to Northwestern College, which was a Wisconsin college in Watertown, Wisconsin, and finished his degree in 1872, and then matriculated to Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Now, at that time, the Wisconsin Synod was also sending its students to our seminary in St. Louis. Graduated from the Concordia Seminary in 1875, so he studied under C.F.W. Walther. as had Reinhold earlier, and then August Pieper, who ended up teaching in the Wisconsin Synod Seminary, graduated from, was 5 years older, so graduated in 1880 from Concordia Seminary. And when Francis graduated from the seminary, he went back and served Wisconsin Synod congregations in Wisconsin. He served three different congregations, two had a dual parish for a while, and then he, in 1877, was called to Manitowoc, to the First Lutheran Church of Manitowoc, Wisconsin Synod congregation, and 1 year later was then called back to the seminary to teach at Concordia Seminary to be Walter's understudy.
Yeah, if you haven't been keeping track of the dates here, folks, that's 3 years after he graduated from seminary. He's being called back to the seminary. And talk about that whole understudy role. What was the idea there?
Well, Walter had served twice already as president of the Missouri Synod, and throughout the moving of Concordia Seminary to St. Louis from Altenburg, actually it was in Dresden, in Perry County, but which is just outside of Altenburg. The town no longer exists. But anyway, that is where Concordia Seminary was started, as a log cabin. Then it was moved to St. Louis. Walter was already pastor there at Trinity Lutheran Church down by the Soulard area. And then he became not only a professor of Concordia Seminary, but president of Concordia Seminary. So as well as Walter served as the senior pastor for four congregations in St. Louis, what was called the Gesamtgemeinde, or combined congregation, including Trinity, Holy Cross, Zion, and Emmanuel. And Walter was just exhausted. And they wanted Walter to write a dogmatics text. And Walter had already suffered a few breakdowns, emotional breakdowns. Also, I think he probably suffered from depression. It was called melancholy back then. And so the synod was really concerned about him. And they wanted Walter to have an understudy. And it's interesting, Walter was not directly involved in choosing this understudy. It was a synodical event. It was chosen at his understudy was chosen at the convention of synod. And there were several names that were brought forward. And Francis Pieper, who was the youngest professor at that time to be called and to teach at Concordia Seminary, he was selected out of the Wisconsin Synod, back to Missouri Synod, to teach and be Walter's understudy. Now, another name that had been put forward was F.A. Schmidt. He had studied under Walter all the way back to confirmation, but then had gone and become a teacher at the Norwegian Synod College, and then eventually in the Norwegian Synod Seminary. But Smith has always hoped that he would be brought back to teach at Concordia Seminary. And when he was not selected for that position, he blamed Walter. He thought that Walter made a face at the convention, which was never verified, but that's what F.A. Schmidt thought. And then he began charging Walter with false doctrine with respect to election or predestination.
Well, and there hangs a tale which is going to really shape a lot of Francis Pieper's life, because it's right during that time when he is a professor on the faculty with Walter, understudy to Walther that whole controversy breaks out. We'll talk about that and the rest of our interview with Dr. John Wohlrabi on the life and the work of Francis Pieper on the other side of this break. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. for Tuesday, July 1st. Our telephone number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Here is your chance to find out what you always wanted to know about Francis Pieper. We'll be right back.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hymnody is important, very important. It's an invaluable tool that helps teach and confess the faith. Singing hymns is something we all do together on a weekly basis, yet some congregations find it difficult to sing confidently without the support of an instrument. If you are one of these congregations that can't find an organist, Church Music Solutions can help. Our substitute organist service allows your hymns and liturgy to be played on your instrument to help inspire and support your congregation song. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms, everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
If you were thinking to hear the dulcet tones of Todd Wilkin this afternoon, sorry, Todd is at a Lutheran young people's retreat in Florida, as I understand. And so, he'll come back with a nice tan later this week, I'm sure, and you can call and ask him how that all went. In the meantime, I'm Ken Sherb filling in for the next half hour, final half hour of Issues Etc. for this Tuesday, July 1st, talking with Dr. John Wohlrabi about Francis Pieper, 19th century and 20th century Lutheran theologian, pastor, synodical president, seminary president. The man had a number of careers all in one, and let's kind of go a little bit more with that career, John. You were saying that he was called to the seminary in 1878 at the ripe old age of 26 to be the understudy for C.F.W. Walther. Part of that was because Walther, at age 67, was not getting any younger, and the synod understood that there needed to be a replacement for him in the wings. But he was understudying Walther not only to be a professor, but also to be the president of the institution, so that when Walther died in 1887, there was really no question in anybody's mind about who was going to succeed him in both of those roles, right?
Correct, right. So when Walther died in May of 1887, Pieper then was called as president, elected to that position.
A position in which he served for almost the next 44 years. Now,
right, and all the way until when he died, June 3rd, 1931.
So how did he do as a seminary president? What happened at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis during the presidency of Francis Pieper?
Well, the seminary continued to grow and flourish. In fact, after he finished writing his dogmatics text, which we will talk about, I'm sure, in a little bit, the seminary campus that we now have was built during the Pieper presidency, which happened during the 1920s. It was completed in 1926, and so it moved from Jefferson Street, Kinney Corner, to Concordia Publishing House, and right next to Holy Cross Lutheran Church, down to downtown, Clayton, and the campus that now is Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.
So, yeah, a move of the campus. And as you say, the school was growing all the way through. By what, 1930, Concordia Seminary is one of the largest seminaries in the country, right?
I believe so.
Points to make about Pieper's actual time as president or his work as president?
Well, he also served from 1899 until 1911 as president of the Synod, and continued also as president of Concordia Seminary. But this really wore on Franz, and he also had a breakdown. And he was sent to recover in Germany. And so he was not at the 1911 Synodical Convention, and basically stepped down, and Friedrich Fotenauer, as first vice president, chaired that convention and then was elected Synodical President.
I think while we had Matt Harrison on the phone a while ago, we should have asked him if he wanted to be president of the seminary as well as being president of the Synod all at the same time. It just
right.
Boggles my mind that any one person
yes.
could do all of that.
Right. It certainly does, because by this time the Synod was approaching, I would say, probably, I don't have exact statistics, but I would think it's getting close to a million members, congregational members, by this time. So it was rather mind-boggling that he would do this. Plus, he continued as an assistant pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in St. Louis.
So you're right. He's wearing a lot of hats. And, of course, his presidency of the Synod coincides basically with the turn of the century and the first decade of the 20th century. Think of all the things that are going on in American society, automobiles, airplanes. I mean, the Wright brothers make their flight during that time.
Right. And about that time is just the beginning of telephone, the beginnings of electricity. By this time, the whole, the transportation, the train, people are able to get around a lot more than they were before that. So yeah, a lot of changes going on, and then the other tensions after that continued in the United States after the end of the Civil War and leading up to World War One. All of these transitions. Now, the Missouri Synod at this time is still German, and it is Die Deutsche Evangelische Lutherische Synod von Missouri, Ohio, and Andernstadt. We had fellowship with the English Missouri Synod, but they would not join with the German Missouri Synod until 1911. And even at that time, only a brief synopsis of the synodical conventions were put in English. It was still all done in German until 1917.
So Pieper did not preside over the kind of great transition from German to English, at least as president of the Synod. He was still active at the seminary at the time.
Right, right.
Let's talk about this great work of his, the three volumes for which he is best known. By no means the only thing he wrote. He published a lot of articles and other books, but he wrote most famously three volumes called Christian Dogmatics. And I think we can start talking about the essential themes by noting the fact that this is a three-volume set that was kind of strange. Volume two came out first. Why was that?
Right. Well, it came out in 1917, and that was the 400th anniversary of the Reformation. And so it was recommended to Pieper, and he followed through that the chief doctrine of the of Lutheranism and the Christian faith, really, is justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Volume 2 covers the work of Christ, centering in justification. And so that volume came out first, and in conjunction with the 400th anniversary of the Reformation.
About the first half of that book is devoted to the person and work of Christ. What's the role of the person and work of Christ in everything else that Pieper was up to?
Well, that is the center. Christ is the center. Our salvation, everything in Scripture, everything points to Christ, and everything that follows. Who Christ is, God become a man for our salvation, to bring human beings, make them right again with God after they had fallen into sin. And so you have the proto-evangel all the way back in Genesis 3, the promise that from the seed of the woman, the head of the serpent would be crushed, and all of the Old Testament points forward to the center, which is Christ. And so you first of all, in Volume 2, it has the doctrine of Christ, talking about the person, and then the work of Christ. And then the application of that to us by way of salvation, by grace, through faith. And so he spends a lot of time talking about saving faith and what that is.
Faith, conversion, coming to faith, law and gospel. A number of closely related things kind of finish out Volume 2. Then, with just about a minute before we take a break, John, could you tell us briefly what's in Volume 3, which came next, and then Volume 1, which he finally got back to?
Yes. Volume 2 came out in 1920, and so that is, as he said, the consequence of all of Christ's work. And so it starts off with justification, talking about life, new life in Christ, and he talks about sanctification in the broad sense, sanctification in the narrow sense, and then he continues on with the means of grace, law and gospel, holy baptism, the Lord's Supper, then church and ministry, and then election or predestination, and then finally eschatology or the last things. All of that is in Volume 3.
Okay. We'll have to get Volume 1, the last of the three volumes to appear in 1924 on the other side of this break. We're talking with Dr. John Wohlrabi about the life and work and the most famous work, Christian Dogmatics, of Dr. Francis Pieper, who was the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as well as the president of Concordia Seminary, as well as a theologian. I can keep going on and on, but we'll go to break. We'll be right back.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving Word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at MountZionGreenfield.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This generation has told all the previous generations to shut up, to keep silent.
Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Instead of the church's classical way of operating, supplementation, we've replaced the heritage of proclamation and song that reaches back to the earliest centuries with only the song of now.
You can listen to Pastor Whedon's presentation, Making the Case for Classical Christian Hymnody, and all of the teachings from the 2014 Making the Case Conference on a new audio DVD. For a $300 donation to Issues, Etc. before Labor Day, we'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Cracking into the second half of 2014. It's July 1st. This is Issues, Etc. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. Talking with Dr. John Wohlrabi about Francis Pieper. We were just in the middle of kind of running through the essential contents of Pieper's great work, Christian Dogmatics, three volumes. Volume 2 appeared first in 1917, focusing on Christ and justification and other things like that. Volume 3 on the means of grace, the church, eternal election, the last things, eschatology, appeared in 1920. Then finally, kind of the Johnny-come-lately, in 1924, he finishes off the work by writing Volume 1. And, John, what's in Volume 1 of Christian Dogmatics?
Is what's called prolegomena, or the introduction nature and character of theology. And here he talks about theology, not just as doctrine, but theology as aptitude. And only by aptitude, he means one must have faith. the theology is shaped by one's faith. It's not just an intellectual exercise. But then he goes on to talk about Holy Scripture as the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And even then, in the early 20th century, people were questioning Scripture in the United States and within Lutheran circles. And so Pieper is very strong on the inspiration of Scripture and all of Scripture being God's Word. Then he gets into the doctrine of God, discussion of the Trinity, then creation, and then other aspects, angels, and then the doctrine of man, that what it is to be created in the image of God, the fall into sin, and the impact of that.
So volume one kind of ends up on the note of sin, and volume two will come along with Christ, which, of course, will be the solution for that problem of sin. So finally, yeah, the three volumes are complete, and with that, Pieper is able to relax a little bit. He has a few more years to serve as president of the synod before he dies and goes to heaven. Let's talk a little bit about Christian dogmatics from the standpoint of sources. What kinds of things did Pieper draw upon to write and present this very lengthy presentation of Christian doctrine? Obviously, Scripture. I've heard the story about how he would lecture in class, and one time he left one piece of paper behind. It was the only piece of paper he had on the lectern in front of him, and he just left it when he left the classroom, and a bunch of students raced down to see what was on that piece of paper. And it was a Bible passage written in Greek, but it was just one Bible passage for that whole lecture.
Yeah, he had an amazing mind. And the three volumes of Dogmatics is covers not only Scripture and not only Luther and the Lutheran Confessions, but also Orthodox Church Fathers as well as early Church Fathers. And then he makes references to the teachings in other church bodies. The scope and the breadth of what he draws from and touches upon is incredible. As we who have gone through seminary, you know, when we go through, we have three classes for systematics, and you cover one volume for each quarter, and he refers to Latin phrases were used throughout, as well as German phrases. And fortunately for us, it was translated into English between 1950 and 1953. So all of us have studied the English version, but still, throughout the breadth and the depth of references throughout the history of the church that people draws upon it, it's amazing.
He had been teaching doctrine, of course, at the seminary by that time for, over 30 years by the time he even starts writing this. But every theologian seems to be especially shaped by those issues that he's had to defend particularly. And we said a while ago that shortly after Pieper came to the faculty, already as Walther's understudy, and while he was serving at Concordia Seminary with Walther, the great predestinarian controversy broke out in North American Lutheranism, which left its mark on Pieper in many ways for the rest of his career. Talk a little about that, will you?
Okay, well, as I said earlier, his selection as the understudy for Walther in 1878 kind of was a precipitating thing for this, because it set off F.A. Schmidt, who was in the Norwegian Synod at this time, even though he had come out of the Missouri Synod. And Schmidt charged Walther with crypto-Calvinism, which is basically saying that Walther's view on election was similar to double predestination, which is not true at all. But Schmidt had been holding to a position that was put forth within Lutheran circles in the 17th century, a guy by the name of Hunier, in trying to explain eternal election, said that God elected in view of faith. The Latin word was intuitu fide, and And instead, Walther did not like that. Neither did Pieper, because it seemed to imply that human beings did something to be elected by God, namely their coming to faith. And so Walther and then Pieper maintain that eternal election was solely by God's grace through faith, but faith itself is worked by God through the means of grace, and then faith in Christ. And so it is by grace alone, sola gratia, not intuitu fide, not in view of faith. Now, what happened was that not only did Schmidt do this, but some within the Ohio Synod, which had been part of the Synodical Conference, and then others in the Norwegian Synod, so that both the Ohio Synod and the Norwegian Synod withdrew from the Synodical Conference between 1880 and 1882. When Walther died in 1887, this predestinary controversy was going on and on, it wasn't until Francis Pieper was president between 1903 and 1906 that meetings were again held, including theologians from the Ohio Synod, the Iowa Synod, and the Norwegian Synod, discussing election again. But by this time, another aspect had come in which showed why these theologians held the intuitu fide position, and that is what they called the analogy of faith, which was basically putting human reason over Scripture and saying that basically that it has to come together in a person's reason. And Pieper was very strong on by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and then Holy Scripture alone as the basis for our theology and understanding. And we don't always understand or reason things out. So that we are elected by grace alone. It is totally God's doing, and yet God would that all be saved. And we don't try to understand or come to understanding why some and not others.
When Pieper gets to writing Volume 1 of his Christian Dogmatics in 1924, published in 1924, he says that, yeah, theology is a system, you can call it that, but it's not a system the way an engineer would describe a mechanical system, or even the way a biologist would describe a life sciences system. Precisely because there are going to be some lacunae. There are going to be some things that you just can't get from point A to point B, and you have to let both things stand instead of trying to figure out.
Exactly. What we would call paradox. Two truths that stand side by side, and we don't explain it. And yet, if it is put forward in God's Word, we embrace it and confess it.
Just in 1 minute, John, what would you say as a kind of a summary on the life and career of Francis Pieper? What do Lutherans today, what can Christians today learn from the work of this man?
I would say his faith and his confession. He was ecumenical in the sense of wanting unity and seeing that the true confession of God's word is what brings unity, not capitulating, not giving in, and embracing everything that God puts forth in His word, and that's what he put forward in his Christian ethics. That's what he put forward in a number of synodical essays. It was what he wrote in articles and papers. And by the way, another thing that he did, he was editor of Lera on Vera, which was the theological publication of Concordia Seminary. So all of these. And then finally, before he died, he was the main author for A Brief Statement, which was adopted by the Missouri Synod in convention after his death, and became the way in which we put forward our doctrine in discussions with other Lutherans for Lutheran unity.
Well, another thing Francis Pieper gave us was the heritage of learned men serving as synodical presidents and vice presidents. And so Dr. John Wohlrabi, second vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we are pleased to have had you with us on Issues Etc. today.
Thank you very much, Ken. It's been a real pleasure.
I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. Todd will be back tomorrow. And for right now, thanks for your time this time. Till next time on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.